Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I'm Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
We're here today to talk about Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
We have already done a review of this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is our spoiler discussion, favorite moments, what the hell happened episode. So
We're going to try and figure it out together what happened in this game.
Doug is very confused and is not knowledgeable on Star Wars, so this might just be Brad explains Jedi Survivor to Doug. We'll find out. But we're going to jump right into spoilers, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't played it and you just want to know if it's good or not, we talk about it in our review a lot. It's pretty good. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get right into spoilers here. So I want to start with the beginning. Great place to start. When we talked about in our review, beginning of this game, ending of this game is where the highlights are. So,
yeah.
Opening of this game, where you're on Coruscant, I think it's really interesting that the game kind of hides what it is from you, because this first level is so different. You show up with your crew, you're getting chased by an Inquisitor, you're doing all these kind of stuff with Saw Gerrera, like all these things.
Oh, in I this forgot first about level, that. You're totally right. Yeah, yeah.
None of it comes back. Because all of this new crew, so I almost want to talk about how this is like disconnected from so many weird things. This opening level,
I remember that opening level. I remember just like the first 10 minutes of that game, like when Hale's walking with the cuffs. I was like,
cuffs, yep.
This game's gonna be amazing. It just looks good. You're in this like really dense city, and I was like, wow, we haven't really seen a dense city in Jedi Fallen Order before. And you got a new crew. It's like, oh, this is weird. We've got a new crew, and you got this new main character, like not main character, but new like main side character. And like, oh, and then that is so fun. And then the Inquisitors come back. It's like, we're back, baby.
Saw Gerrera, like, we're working for him. Now we're going to get this tie-in with all of the stuff that he was in Rebels, and we're going to get the tie-in to Rogue One, and we're going to get really hard in on all this Alliance stuff, and everybody dies, and you never see another Inquisitor again.
Yeah, that was really strange.
It's just, I almost want to start there with, this game feels oddly disconnected from the first one, because in the first one you spend so much time investigating the Zepho and everything of this ancient religion and this ancient idea of the Force and where the Force and the Jedi came from and all of this. And yes, we'll get into High Republic because that's kind of a step forward from there, but it just feels so odd because it's like, nope, your crew, they split up.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, the Inquisitor, you saw your Inquisitor, move on, move past it. You're not going to see another Inquisitor. You'll see Vader, but not another Inquisitor. That's it. Yeah. That's your time with them. So it's just, it feels very disconnected from a lot of the other games.
Yeah, and I think this is also like when they introduce Bode, because it's like they have your very, it's funny, when they introduced the crew, I was like, their faces don't look that good. And I was just like, and if your face doesn't look that good in a video game, you're going to die pretty quickly or you're giving me a side quest. And I got that feeling immediately. And then Bode had a good looking face. I was like, I'll bet Bode lives.
Well, for a while. So let's talk about Bode, because Bode's an interesting character, because he does pop up throughout the game a lot. He just kind of seems like this guy in the background. Like, I don't think until really his kind of defining moment where you go and meet his daughter, I had no feelings about Bode other than like, I don't know much about you, dude. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, he's very, they keep saying out loud that they're friends. And then, like, if they have to say that they're friends out loud, like, they're not friends. It's like, it was really, really strange because he is such a generic guy. Like, I was like, oh, he's the guy with the jetpack was, like, my only impression of that character for, like, most of the game.
Yes.
And then the second he starts talking, like, even earlier, though, but, like, the second he starts talking, he was like, I'd do anything for my daughter. He's like, oh, he's the betray guy. Like, they just needed a character to create to betray the group. And for some reason, it's like, well, we can't use any of our main cast for some reason. Like, it might have been more interesting, but like, they set up this character who you've not met before only to then betray you later. It just felt like, man, this would have been much cooler if this is like maybe somebody, a character I knew or cared about. And like, they do a bad job like making you care about that character. Literally the only thing I thought was interesting was like, oh, he's got a jetpack. I should probably ask Brad why he has a Mandalorian jetpack at some point.
And that's the thing. I do think they did a much better job. Like, once you meet his daughter, the scene in his like room with his daughter, I thought was very well done. There was a lot of good, like, back and forth between Cal and his daughter, with him and his daughter, and then the way that that kind of plays out even at the end of the game where she shows up on Tantalor, and there's kind of this like, oh my gosh, what's he doing? What's happening to you? Why are you like this? Like, that stuff I thought was really strong. But again, and this is kind of, I think, when we talked about before, like, part of my issue with this game is I feel like so much of the strong is that last quarter of the game, which is really why I want to kind of talk through this way, because I think you get a better sense of what this game's strengths are by being able to talk about that ending.
Yeah. It was, the other thing that was kind of interesting about Bode is that because you have so much less time with like your other crew, he's like your main crew guy for most of the game too.
Yeah.
Which just, man, I just miss that old crew so much, because I really like that crew from the first game. And I really like the villain from the first game too. She gets kind of killed off in the first game, but still.
Yeah, the villains in the first game were much better, I think, than this one. Mm-hmm. Because again, I think, and we can talk about him a little bit, Dagon Gera, who's this High Republic Jedi that you, like, resurrect. I mean, just very one note, where it's just like, I want Tantalor. Okay, but what else? But Tantalor!
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny how we introduced this thing, because you were talking about, like, Doug didn't understand any of the story. We spent a good 10 minutes before this started trying to figure out what his motivations were exactly, or why he was a bad guy. I think the game does I think it's really cool seeing this, like, very old school Jedi. You're like, oh, what does that even mean? I don't know what an old High Republic Jedi even means in the context of the story. And then he just immediately turns into the bad guy, and then his motivations, I think, are really just really poorly explained for a lot of the game. So, like, you have your best friend character who's not super well established, and now you have a bad guy who also isn't quite clear, doesn't have the clearest motivations, and like, that's kicking off our story. It's like, oh boy.
And again, you're right, we talked about it for a long time. I mean, I literally went to Wikipedia and was like, okay, what was he doing again? Like, there had to be something else, and I just couldn't find it, because it's just like, even that's like, him and Cal disagreed on Tantalor.
On a thing Cal just found out about.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, it's like, and I was going to save kind of all the, like, High Republic stuff for the end, because those of you who are not Star Wars, like, nerds who haven't read the book yet probably don't give two shits about it, but, like, the High Republic is super interesting. The whole concept of it is, it's like this golden age. There's thousands of Jedi. Like, the Jedi are known as, like, they're like Avengers, like, in the Star Wars universe, where it's like, everybody has heard of the great master such and such. And, like, it's like that level of stuff. Like, oh yeah, the Jedi went out, and one of the big things is Starlight. And they went and built this whole thing so that the entire Republic would have the ability to go and explore these distant planets. And it's just, it's handled so, like, nonchalant in this, and this guy's a perfect example of it. And, like, even in, like, the flashbacks with Centauri Kree, where it's just like, you could have made these people something, you could have like really embraced this. And it's just, I think that's almost part of the problem that I had with Dagon Gera, where it's just like, but no, like, have some issue with the Nile, who they bring up in a parentheses, like, in a conversation, like, have a conversation about, like, his experience with the emergence in the Shattered Moon, because that's what that's from, is from this emergence with the great hyperspace disaster where this thing came from.
I don't think
they
ever talked about that. When you said, like, oh, the Shattered Moon, I was like, yeah, it's just the level. You're like, no, the Shattered Moon is because of this cool hyperspace accident. And I, like, I don't think, was that brought up?
There's a two-paragraph thing on emergence in there. And, like, that is literally, like, one of the, like, the High Republic books have been released in phases. That's, like, the kickoff for, like, phase one of the High Republic. Like, the first High Republic book is, like, these emergences keep happening and keep shattering planets and destroying huge things because of this. Side note, basically what it is...
I'm curious.
These two ships, like, collide in hyperspace, and because they don't come out of hyperspace, basically all the parts of these gigantic ships just come flying out of hyperspace at, like, the most random-ass points, and, decimating planets and, like, all this other stuff.
Was it, like, a single accident or something that's causing this?
Spoilers.
For what?
Books.
Okay. Hit me.
We can talk after this, just in case anybody who's listening actually wants to read books, but I know you don't. But
absolutely not. I'll put a little edit here. You can skip ahead too.
Not even worth it. Not even worth it. Anyway. But yeah, so it's just, it's that kind of stuff where it's all this cool stuff with the High Republic Dag and the Nile. Like, you could have used Tantalor in some way. Like, you could have talked about all these different things of, like, what the Jedi were doing and all this. And it's just, like, these, I think you like, you didn't even know the name of them we're talking about. He was, like, part of this Marauder group who came and, like, they were bad or something. It's just, like, ugh, you had such, with as much as Lucasfilm is pushing High Republic, it's insane to me that, like, this huge piece where you first bring up, like, High Republic's been in very little stuff up until Jedi Survivor, like, outside of books. And it's like, this was your shot to get people hyped on the High Republic. You're doing a full-on series on it. I think in 2024 is when the Acolyte comes out. You're doing a full-on live-action series on this. And we're not even going to give it the time of day in this. We're just going to, like, those Marauder guys, they were bad, and Jedi were good.
This is a really dumb question. The only unique thing that was pulled out of that to me was, like, the droid stuff. Is there any interesting High Republic? Because no, like, what I'm telling you is, like quite literally the only, like, oh, here's the unique thing is, like, the droids kind of look like 1950s or, like, no, not like 1950s, but like early 40s sci-fi looking. It's like, it's a cool looking robot. And I was like, oh, maybe the robots from this time period have something interesting besides, like, looking different. Is there any, because that was the main thing I pulled from the high, like, of all this stuff. I was like, oh, cool robots. I'm assuming that has nothing, like, High Republic, they got droids, and that's about it. There's nothing cool or unique about them.
There's nothing unique about the droids, to my knowledge, that I can think of. So, you know, there's that. I do want to kind of jump. Okay, so just another aside, since we're talking, like, greater Star Wars stuff, I did find the hidden path being, like, a key part of this really fun, having just come off Obi-Wan, because that's, like, the key thing in Obi-Wan is how Obi-Wan gets around and what's happening with these Jedi after Order 66. So I thought it was kind of fun to get Cal as, like, oh yeah, he's, like, kind of this survivor, this fallen order survivor, this kind of lone Jedi who's trying to, like, find his way. And it's like, okay, like, of course he would have stumbled onto the same thing that Obi-Wan did through that series. So I thought that was a fun connection as well. So
I thought the hidden path thing was kind of interesting, because they had that. I think the other thing I kind of liked was in that, not home, well, not the home base area, but the place where Siri is, I liked that they had, like, smuggled part of the Jedi library.
Yeah,
me not knowing anything about Star Wars and, like, seeing that for them, it's like, actually, that's kind of a neat thing. It's like they were able to smuggle portions of that out. So I think that made the hidden path stuff, like, a little bit more interesting, and they talk a lot about it. Although I don't think you run into any other Jedi per se, like, who's on the hidden path. Like, you meet, like, Siri, and then that guy I totally thought was dead from the first game, but I guess he's alive.
Not anymore.
But besides those two people, you didn't see anybody, like, coming along the hidden path. Like, they talked about people moving through, but you never actually met another Jedi or something like that.
But I think that's fairly well established in Obi-Wan too, where it's like, no, we got to keep you guys moving. Like, we're keeping you moving. We're giving you a new, we keep you moving. We're giving you new assigned identities. We're putting you in places where the Empire is not, which was kind of the draw of Tantalor, was like the Emperor, because you need this special compass to get through that. I don't know if it was an abyss or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's kind of the key thing where it's like, okay, instead of going, like, okay, we're going to send you to this, like, super distant outer rim planet where you're just going to be a farmer forever. Okay. You're going to go live in a hut on this underdeveloped world in Dagobah. You're going to go hide out in the Dune Sea. Like, instead of doing that, it's going, okay, no, we can have a place where we can, like, establish a base. We can get all of these people together instead of just kind of moving them through and, like, spreading them out throughout the galaxy.
Didn't you say it was an interesting place to put that, though? Like, I remember you said, like, oh, it's an interesting planet to put that Siri base on. Am I wrong?
Oh, because it's Jedha. Yeah, because it's Rogue One.
Okay. What does that mean? What do you mean it's... No, I saw Rogue One, but I mean, like, what is that? Is that...
Riz Ahmed, right? In Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
The planet where he's on with Saw Gerrera. That's the planet that they're on in this game.
But Saul Guerrero doesn't show up in this.
He's mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, no, I know that, but, like, as a character, but I mean, if they're hanging around the same planet.
I mean,
and he showed up on, like, the Wookiee planet in the first game.
time period. You're, like, 8 years ahead of that movie.
Okay, that's fair, but Saul's running around because he's in Fallen Order. He's literally in Fallen Order.
No.
Hang off an ad.
What I'm saying is, like, what's interesting is, like, okay, you're setting this up now on this planet in 8 years. You know that this is a big base for Saw Gerrera that Rogue One crew kind of comes through. That's where my interest in that came from, because, okay, there is some history here with Rogue One and how that comes. And, okay, from here to there, there's a, I think, 7 years-ish?
Okay.
Something like that.
Sure. So to move away from Siri's base for just a quick second, there was and then we talked like getting into Bode's betrayal. There's a really interesting thing in Dagon's final fight where when he's talking about the power, like how powerful your character is during the fight, I was like, I don't think he's talking to Kale. I think he's talking to both of them. And there's like a few hints dropped throughout that, Bode may be a Jedi. And I do remember that in the Dagon fight specifically, he was talking to both of them like, oh, I can sense it in you. And I think he does it like when he's fighting Bode. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I did like that final sort of turn from Bode when he pulled out a lightsaber. I was not totally expecting that, started force pushing you around and stuff. I thought that was really cool, which eventually leads to the betrayal of Ciri and the whole base. Did you like Bode's betrayal scene? I'm just curious how you felt about that before we start getting to Ciri's base getting blown up and all that.
I did. Again, I think there were hints at it coming. Like, you could kind of see something like that happening. Mm-hmm. I liked it in that I felt like I wasn't expecting Jedi to come from it. Like, I was expecting, okay, he's sure. Hiding something, he's somebody, I wasn't just expecting the, like, quick, like, nope, I'm a light, here's my lightsaber, let's go. Like, I wasn't, like, expecting that quick of a, like, whoa, that's, like, that kind of got me. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it does lead to Ciri's base, which I feel like the whole game I was, like, going through that base, like, this base is going to get attacked. It just feels very... gonna get attacked like when you're walking around like this is a video game level. This isn't really like a hub world. This is like a video game.
This is a good arena right here. Arena, hallway. That's how I would design a good two-stage boss fight. Arena, hallway.
Yeah.
So Seer dying I think was kind of a shocking one for me, just because I didn't really see major characters dying, and she dies right after Eno Cordova dies.
Yes.
So that was kind of the one that I was like, oh, that's the major turning, like that's a huge deal, like he just died. And then it's like,
yeah,
and moving on, now the one you really care about gone.
Yeah, it sucked. Ciri's death, I mean, that whole fight, I think the Ciri change I thought was really cool, because I think as soon as you play as her like force push is super powerful, but she has like very similar abilities to Cal, but she's like clearly more powerful. Yeah. And I did like that she's the one that does the Darth Vader fight, because Cal would have gotten smoked. But Seer is more experienced, could potentially hold her own, does still get killed by Darth Vader, because Darth Vader, you know, he's got plot armor till at least episode 5. or 6. but it was cool playing as her. On her death though, I didn't like that they killed her, because they're like, because it's when you play as her, it's like, oh, here's the interesting character of the game. Here's like, and not that Cal is so not interesting. I think that was like, oh, here is something that feels very Fallen Order-y, was this character Seer. And then when you get to play her, it's like, oh, this is such a cool moment. And then when she dies, it's like, ah, man, there's like not, I felt like it was neat having a character die that you cared about, but it also felt like that was one of those things that made Fallen Order feel Fallen Order-y. And then I was like, and then when that went away, it's like, I really don't know what Fallen Order was when she died. I was like, oh, I guess it's just Cal, Witch Lady, and Pilot Guy now. that's the Fallen Order crew now. That really did suck when she died, though. I did like her character. Because I think they really make her just seem so cool in those moments.
It's such a cool turn, too, from where she was in Fallen Order, where she's kind of this like... Yeah. Kind of like, Jedi, whatever. And then, like, over, like, the time jump, she's, like, fully embraced this role and everything. I think that's really cool. Yeah. I do think what you're saying, I think, almost makes it work for me, where it's, like, it's unexpected. It hurts. Sure. It feels like it's, like, oh, but is that the one we had to kill? Like, I feel like that's the good stuff, where it's, like, oh, yeah.
That's
you
fair.
Killed this main crew person number 4, who I don't really give 2 shits about. Okay, yep. Oh, they had to die so Cal could have this emotional moment. No, we took away the good one. Like, we took away a good character.
Yeah.
But that Vader fight was great. I think it's one of those where I didn't expect a Vader fight in this one, especially after they did it in Fallen Order. And I do like your point that Cal would have got smoked, because you had to play a lot in Fallen Order to be like, how does Cal kind of win this one and survive? Like, we have to do all this weird underwater craziness. Well,
when they introduce him in Fallen Order, you have to run. I love that.
Exactly.
You just have to get you like he's just like a terrifying, horrible insta kill thing. I was like, that was so cool. And like Cal could maybe get a few swipes in now, but he's gonna get smoked immediately.
But that's the thing. because of that and Fallen Order, now fighting him as Seer is just like, okay, this is cool. Because you see that, like, oh no, like, Cal, whatever. Psh, like, I got this. You had to run away.
Yeah.
You had to, like, hope the water got him. Like, I got this. Don't worry. It's just, it's so cool. She plays really well. That fight is really, really well designed. I loved kind of the different stages of it.
I liked how hard it was. It was, even on normal, it's the hardest fight in the game. It was a difficult hard. Yeah. It's, yes, which is cool. It's not the final fight. It's the hardest fight in the game. It's really neat.
Because that was my concern when I saw him pop up is, it's like, ugh, I know I'm not at the end of this game. Like, you cannot make this random ass High Republic Jedi stronger than Darth Vader. Like, because at that point, I'm assuming Dagon Gera is going to be the final boss.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're like, no, he's not stronger than Darth. It's Darth Vader. Like, stop it. It's like, oh no, every fight after this, not as difficult. You can get through the Darth Vader fight. The rest of the game, cakewalk.
Yeah.
More or less. I guess to kind of wrap it up here, with Bode being the final boss, how did you feel about that? Because that's my issue with... That's one of my main issues.
I'm trying to remember what exact... I remember, like, because the lead up to the fight is really strange, because you do get to the planet safely.
Yep.
And then... that's what it is. You want Bode to turn himself in... to somebody. Because
you bring his daughter with you.
Yes, yes.
And so then, your whole thing is like, we can get you back. Like, you can do this. Like, let us work together on this. And Bode's thing is like, no, even here now, if you tell other, like, if me and my daughter can stay here and live our life here, nobody will get us.
Yeah.
But if you start bringing more people here, the Empire will find this and will destroy it and will kill me and my daughter.
Yeah.
Is basically the disconnect. But I just, he's not interested. Like, in my mind, if you're not going to do main villain final boss, like if Dagon Gera is not going to be your final boss, it needs to be the guy ahead of Dagon Gera. Like, who's he really working for? And it's like, no, there was secretly like this other person behind him the whole time, which is what JRPGs do all the time, where it's like, I killed the final boss. Great. 10 more hours. He's not really the real bad guy. Like, this was like, you killed Dagon Gera. Okay. Are we cool now? Oh, no, Bode. Oh, now Bode has an issue. Okay, what's Bode's issue? This. Okay, well, we took care of Bode. Is that... Oh, now the game's over. Okay.
Now it just felt
very anticlimactic. Like, it was like, we resolved the main conflict, but there's still this lingering personal conflict with Bode that we have to resolve. It almost felt like ending on a side quest.
Yeah, and I was surprised that you killed him. I just thought that'd be like, oh, okay, so he's going to be like the main bad guy for the series, and that's kind of how they're going to like set up like the third game. And it's like, nope, you'd kill them, and then there's not that games need a tease. I disagree with like games or movies or anything needing a tease for a sequel. But like, I was surprised you killed him, and then the final thing is like, it didn't feel final. Like, there's no finality to it. Like that, like you said, like it, you know, it doesn't have like a hard, nice ending. It's like, okay, I guess we killed this guy and now we bury our friends and then the game ends. I was like, I don't know. It just, it's really strange. Cause you have that final fight with Dagon. Then you have the Vader fight and then you have the Bode fight. It just all felt very, this whole story, like just even talking about it, is like such a mess. I don't know. It just didn't feel like it ended in the right spot.
It felt very like just kind of like jumbled together.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we got this High Republic piece and we've got this betrayal piece and we need Vader in it and we need.
Yeah.
It just felt like kind of like the sum of a bunch of parts. Like, this part was a good idea. The Vader fight, great idea. Seer dying, great idea. Pull in the High Republic. Yeah, that's interesting. That's new. That's something that's a cool twist. Cool. Great. One of Cal's friends betray him. Great. Throw that in there. And it feels like if you rearrange some pieces, you could have a much more like, much better like through line from beginning to end.
Well, that's the thing. Like with Fallen Order, I felt like did a really good job of that because of the things with like the sisters or whatever their names are, like
Night
the
sisters
and stuff. Yeah. It's like Darth Vader like haunts that game. The first game.
Yes.
Because like his presence is around in different ways. And then like at the end, it's like, it's a surprise because they never directly talk about Vader that too much. And he's like, holy shit, he's actually here. And in this one, there's just no real, like I was saying, like, yeah, Fallen already, he haunts the game, and then he's like the final thing at the end, and then you have this finale with that really cool Seven Sister fight, and she was like an awesome character as well.
Oh yeah.
But it all like felt like it like kind of it all made sense. It all like aligned really well. But like you're saying, it's just like all these like little pieces just kind of like stuck together with glue. Like one of the things we didn't even talk about is like Dagon's like second in command guy. He's like, oh yeah, I was in prison for 1,000 years, and then episode 3 happened, and now I got out, and now that's why I'm with him. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's no way that was the intention of that character.
I went through journal entries many times to figure out what that dude's story was, because I was like, you knew him 200 years ago?
Yes, he got arrested in the High Republic and then thrown in Infinity Jail, and then after the Jedi fell, he broke out of jail. And I was like, you got it. And I was like, okay, that seems like that was a weird story tie of like, how do you tie his character to the High Republic? Oh, he was around during that time because he's 1,000 years old. It's like, it doesn't feel that way though.
Yeah. I mean, and I mentioned like that in our review, just the High Republic stuff, just it was a bummer for me. I was really looking forward to that. It was just a bummer. But I mean, I guess to honestly bring this back to where we started, like the game's cool, but the fact that we had to like have like a probably a 10 or 15 minute conversation, just like real quick clarifying things back and forth to each other to make sure we were on the right track with this, I think speaks volumes to what this game is. I mean, normally if we do like, we did one of these for Final Fantasy 16, I think we're just like, all right, let's go, let's talk about this.
Yeah, exactly.
And this was like, wait, hold on. So what was Dagon's ultimate goal? Yeah. Okay. And then when did Bo turn? Did you know this? Did you not? And it was just lots of like, just, and I think that's kind of the issue with this is just, there's so much in here. It's just, it's hard to keep track of. It's just, there's some weird story elements to it, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting. I want more High Republic. I want more Jedi games from Respawn.
Yeah, just give me Jedi Fallen Order 2, whatever that means. You know what I mean?
Shrink it back down.
Shrink it back down. Focus, people. Focus. If it's just High Republic, I'm all in, but just do that. Just do the High Republic stuff. Don't start bringing in everybody else. Yeah.
Anyway, we are Workforce Gaming. We try and get new videos up every Monday. Subscribe to our channel, leave a comment below, and we will see you later.
Bye.